welcome back to Aries Online with your boy Marcus Aries, also known as Roma B. And this is the Luminance Podcast. We're going to be discussing all things R&B and soul. Joining me are three lovely ladies today. Ladies, why don't you introduce yourselves?
What's up, everybody? It's your girl Tando. What's hey, good?
This is Miss Lo, aka Lilo.
Hi, everyone. My name is Tina.
What are we discussing today? Today's topic is best R&B eras.
You know it's
That's
a master
right.
You know?
Steamy, steamy.
Because, like, I don't know about you guys, but this R&B genre is, like, it's a bit tricky, hey?
Bro.
Hip-hoppity,
for a while they R&B needed to be resuscitated, like,
yeah,
you know.
But do you think it's as good as the other eras, or do you think it can compete?
It's not as clear cut as that. It's not a black and white decision. You have to understand that R&B had to evolve into different things, but at the end of the day, every single era has its moment to shine, and we have to respect that.
Okay,
I love the way she phrased that.
Every era gotta be humble. We got it.
Okay, so for me, I chose the 80s R&B. What did you guys choose?
Current day, 2019, from 2010 to 2019, that R&B.
I am from 2010, basically. Yeah.
And I am the 90s.
Lots to unpack.
Lots to unpack there. And I know I was talking to Tando earlier, and she was fighting me, because, like, for me, I really love the 80s, because that was home to your Michael Jackson.
Mm. Oh,
okay.
You know, apparently, it's not R&B, even though there's some songs.
No, you died the king of pop. I will not remember you as the icon of 80s R&B.
But remember, it's not about how we're going to remember you. It's about what you contributed to that era of music.
But then doesn't Michael Jackson count from, like, since the 60s onwards?
60s.
Yeah, the Jackson 5. The Jackson 5.
Oh, he's been contributing to music. So you can't only give him one era. You have to give him all of them.
We do, but, like, the main focus of this one is the 80s R&B. Mm, and for me, songs like Human Nature, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, that was very soulful.
Exactly.
If anything, I felt like Michael contributed a pop R&B soul to it. You know, so it wasn't cutthroat R&B, it wasn't cutthroat pop. It was like a pop R&B.
And that goes back to what I was saying when I was saying that R&B is a tricky genre, because for me, in every single decade it's appeared, it always influences from the most popular the most well-liked genres from it. Because, like, you get your 10s R&B and that has, like, hip-hop influence.
Yeah.
You get your 2000s R&B and that has, like, lots of pop, upbeat influence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Earlier R&B, very jazzy.
But then we also have, like, very R&B guys from the 80s, like Keith Sweat and Sade, like, smooth operator.
Hey,
very smooth.
And then I wanted to also ask you guys, do you think Whitney Houston counts as 80s R&B?
Okay, that's a very tough one.
She has a soulful voice, which would fall more towards the soul R&B genre. But I feel like she's very poppy and dancey, because there's a lot of songs that make you want to get up and dance, whereas R&B songs don't make you want to dance the way her songs have.
Okay, but, like, if you put her in a genre, you wouldn't put her under pop, though. You know, if you had to think, like, what was Whitney Houston's sound?
For me, it was soul.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was soul.
Whitney Houston would be friends with Aretha Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was not R&B.
But isn't that just because she had a powerful voice? If we cut out the powerful vocals and just take the song itself, would she fit into what Aretha and them were singing?
But then for me, if we take Whitney Houston and we put her into the soul genre, it's the same as Aretha Franklin, because she would also fall into the soul genre, because they basically, for me, like, made the same sort of style, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay, so let's just keep it going. So who would you say, Marcus, really did it for you in the 80s?
My number one in the 80s was Mr. Marvin Gaye. Anybody was gonna get like him, guys.
We lost him way too soon.
But we'll forever love him.
He was a friend of ours.
Exactly. So let's jump to the 90s. And what do you have to say, Miss Tina?
Miss Tina is gonna tell you that for the 90s, I have to admit, not personally, but if I'm thinking about in general, the group that made the biggest impact is TLC. They did something new. No one was doing what they were doing, and no girl group was doing what they were doing. They paved the way for people like Destiny's Child to be able to do what they could do solely because of the type of music they brought into R&B.
But what about a group like SWV, for instance, which I feel is slightly more R&B than TLC?
Yeah, but the thing is, at that moment, a lot of groups were following that same path. A lot of, especially the male groups. Male groups like Boys to Men were sounding similar to them. Yeah. But then you get TLC coming in as just a female group. They're doing something totally different, but it still falls majority under R&B, but it's doing something fresh and it's basically mixing different genres
just
together.
A little bit more authentic than what everybody else was doing. I will admit that. They did give that, you know, alternative vibe to the R&B sector.
And every single one of their songs had a message, guys.
Okay, but that's where I want to ask you then.
Okay.
The Fugees, do we count them?
But I count them. Personally, I do.
But aren't they more hip-hop?
Yeah, for me, they're hip-hop. For me, no, like, the Fugees, they're hip-hop, bro. Because even after they broke up, individually, they continued to rap.
Okay, yeah.
Oh.
Even Miss Lauryn Hill.
Yes.
And Lauryn Hill.
That's
even
my
her
baby,
album,
though.
For me, I'll die by on this hill, but I say she was hip-hop all the way through.
Yeah, facts.
But I believe that she contributed some portion.
She contributed, but she herself identified as a rapper.
It's not the same argument as Nicki Minaj. What do you think? You think Nicki Minaj?
Pop.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, only because Nicki's a different chat, only because she did come out hard and start out like rough, like this is me, you know, I'm hard, I rap, I'm pink print, everything. And then like she went a little bit more commercial, where I'm not really sure where the singing really fed in with the whole like sound, but it really made it different, more like, I don't know, hip hop, pop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where she lost a lot of her listeners, because that's not the sound we really followed from the beginning.
No, true.
So
you must have a soulful voice if you're going to transition into any singing. And Lauryn had a soulful voice when she sang.
Ms. Lauryn.
But then she gave us one album and then dipped.
Right. No, but that's all the greats, though. Minimum effort, maximum, you know.
Results.
Yeah, that.
And then Mariah Carey. She wasn't as big in the 90s.
Okay, no, she was.
But
as in the 2000s. But do we still count her in this conversation, or do we save her for the 2000s era?
I think let's save her for the 2000s.
But I'll say she contributed something to the 90s as well.
I think the 90s, that's where she was really, really at her, not like her peak, I'll say.
At her R&B-ish.
Yes. Oh, like she was really doing the most. And to be honest, before, I was a little kid listening to Mariah. So when I heard her, I thought she was a black person. Well, she is, but I thought she was like full out.
Controversial.
And then I found out she was mixed, and that made her so different. Because I'm like, it makes sense where you got the soul side.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
She had that soul to her, and you know she has that voice, and she can hit those notes. I'm like, girl, I don't even know what pitch that is, but you got it.
Voice tells a story. Yeah. You can tell the pain that she's gone through in her life through how she sings.
That's very true.
Okay, let's move on to the 2000s R&B.
Okay, so for me, this was a lot. Like, I won't lie, I did a little research yesterday. I made a list.
Get out the homework.
Yeah, bring it out.
There were a lot of artists, and before I even go to the one that I decided on, I just want to remind everyone, there was Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
Oh, we obviously had Riri. You know, she did her thing. For the guys, we had Chris Brown. Like, you know, Breezy.
That was his prime. We're not gonna lie. That was his prime.
We can't forget
with that
Neo.
Kiss, kiss.
Mary J also, like, there were a lot of artists, but let's be honest, Beyonce killed it when she broke out from
We had this conversation, right? Broke out in Destiny's Child, R&B, sure.
Yeah.
But then the rest of Beyonce, where do we rank that? R&B or
okay,
pop?
Early 2000s Beyonce, that's
pop. Why but mine is, like, specifically towards 2000 to 2010. Right, because she released B-Day 2006. Cool, right, B-Day, that was fire. She, like, all those tracks were hits.
Yes. Well, maybe there was like one or two where, you know,
we didn't feel. But majority of the album, that's where we saw, okay, but baby girl, you really done spread your wings, you know? And then I Am Sasha Fierce, guys.
But for me, that was poppy. Can I tell you why?
Okay,
talk. Because you have tracks like Single Ladies, Sweet Dreams. I mean, it's
okay,
really...
Okay, do you know, I didn't really find it poppy. I found it more upbeat. Like, I'm not here to make you sleep, nah? Because, okay...
Was she making you sleep before?
You see, with I Am Sasha Fierce, there was two sides. I Am was the R&B side. Mm. Halo, If I Were a Boy. Mm. You know, the Satellite.
That is boring on pop.
No.
What's
on pop? If I Were a Boy.
Yes.
No.
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 No. No. No. No.
If
sure.
We will bump you in 5 years' time at a boring adult party, your pop.
No, but there's R&B songs we still bump to. Mario's Let Me Love You, we still bump it.
And that was actually quite upbeat, quite a tough.
Exactly.
Because like Beyonce, she's not lazy. She comes with choreography, so everybody's thinking it's pop. No. The lady works very hard. And so for me, she was very influential. It's not even about the fact that, let's say, her sound was a little bit like, I'll say it was like a very commercial R&B. Like, it's okay. Why you would mistake it for pop. But if you remember the influence she had over the female generation at the time. Like, we were crazy. Diva came out and like, that's a female hustler. I was like, whoa, okay.
But again, you're jumping onto the pop side.
Like, okay. I hear
the
that.
The argument is for why is it R&B?
Why is it R&B? Okay. My thing is, okay, right.
Careful.
Okay, but it was a two-part album, right? I'll say Sasha Fierce, that's the one that really ventured out into more commercial pop. Mm-hmm. But the first half of the album, the I Am, I think that was her really just saying, like, this is me, but this is really me. Sasha Fierce was like, this is really me, like, venturing out into, like, my alter ego. But I Am was this is the last part of my heart. Like, say bye to it, guys, because from 2010, you ain't gonna see her no more. but really, I don't know. Like, for me, she just really had that huge influence. And as a female, one, and she was black, she really ripped that. And she owned it.
We won't count people like Mary J. Blige.
No, Mary really did her thing. Like, it's just...
For me, she's R&B for me.
She's definitely the epitome of R&B.
Also, Ashanti.
But my thing with Ashanti was like, did you listen to her album?
No, I listened to her singles.
I listened to
but
the
thing is, her biggest hits were R&B songs. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So that's why for me,
this is very a very controversial one, actually. I struggled with the 2000s, why I brought out all the artists. So for everyone who, like, because you guys are fighting me on Beyonce, I'd actually like to get a personal insight as to who you would have believed was your. Because my 2000, no doubt, like, it was Beyonce. Say, even though she did venture with Sasha Fierce, I'll admit that. But I can't really give it to Rihanna because she did a pop sound.
First, she was dancehall, actually.
Yeah, she was technically dancehall.
And we can't really give it to Mary J because she didn't really like rip the whole 2000. Like, she was here, then she like.
But
she,
like, still, it's about like, how you, did you stand
yes,
out?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Guys, for me, are we forgetting someone though?
I'm sure
Fantasia.
Okay, no, girl. That was like two or three tracks.
Yeah, it was two or three.
Okay,
three
there
tracks,
was then,
but her voice,
I
guys,
see
was
but it's tricky there. Like, yeah, one or two tracks does
like,
not
does not
count.
Really count. Like, what contribution did you really make to R&B? You know, like,
that
if
voice,
it was one or two
I feel like it was a wasted opportunity. That's
a change you gotta have with Fantasia.
So let's go to the tens.
Yes.
Tando, I know
you've
been waiting.
I've been waiting.
Yeah.
I was telling Marcus outside, I was like, 2019 is the last year that's gonna rip the decade between 2010 and now. Because from then on, we're in 2020, you know what I'm saying?
Nice.
So we've at this point pretty much seen all of it, seen it all. So we're like, who's really gonna take the cake? And for me, it was Daniel Caesar, guys.
Okay, I just wanna.
Let's go for it.
No, because like before we even talk about you know, the artists that you chose. Really, the era from 2010 to now is something that's a chat on its own. Because we ventured out from
it was kind of like
hip-hop, R&B to more trap soul.
Like, that's what I wanted to say. One thing I appreciate about the 10s R&B was the whole experimentation. Albums like Drake's Take Care, but then you also get Division, like gospel R&B.
No cap.
It was an era of like experimentation, like also trap soul. Like, look at the biggest songs.
Everybody is not doing a single genre. Like, there are so many people that are just coming together, hip hop, pop, R&B, everything. The lines
genre
are so
blending.
Good.
And so my question is, can we really still classify it as R&B? Because honestly, it's very hard to have, like, we can have IMDb, but can you really say IMDb is R&B?
No.
Know what I mean? Like, yeah, she's very, you know, defensive, and it's not just her. We have someone like Ari Lennox, and it would be very easy for you to say she's R&B, but like, why? You know, she's very poppy, she's very energetic.
That funk vibe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like, how do you classify that? What do you
for
put
me,
that
I put
in?
In the funk category, sort of like an Erykah Badu, for example.
Ooh.
It's like she was singing while it was the blues element to it, but it's not really fully R&B.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
But I feel like the fact that her voice is that soulful, if we're going to put Whitney in soul, we have to put Ari in soul as well.
No.
Her voice is soulful, guys.
No. Here's the thing.
Think about
it.
We're not even going to fight about that.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
I'm though. Like, I hear what you're saying with her voice, but not her genre, though. Because the way she uses her voice is not for soul. She plays around with her voice.
Whipped cream, though.
I've been eating whipped cream.
Listen to that beat. That timing is such a... It's not a dancey timing. It's more like I'm listening to something
soulful. But when it's upbeat... Okay, like, I get like why you're trying to argue it, but it's not soul.
How is it not soul, guys? No.
Like, it's not soul. But there is soul to it. There is soul in it, but it's not soul.
Like, it grabs elements, basically.
Yes. Like, just hearing the voice, the sound, the melody, but... not the genre.
Tanda, anything you'd like to add on the tens?
Daniel Caesar, we've got to you.
We've got Allegra, so many pivotal people coming through in the 2010s. It's just, it's too lit out here. And it's like, for me, you listen to someone like Daniel Caesar and you're like, dude, you sound classically trained, but you've got so much depth to you. So what's actually going on? I think going forward, there isn't going to be like one specific type of R&B, because then you still get artists like Sir and Neo who are doing avant-garde R&B. And you're like, that is, you know what I'm saying? But for me, definite standout for this decade, Daniel Caesar.
Oh, like, I must say, her really, she came as a surprise because like her songs were really good. Like she did, some might argue that she was a little bit boring for them. But she sounded so conditioned, so ready, so I'm here, I'm taking it, I'm her.
Yeah.
She sounded a bit funky sometimes as well. Like,
you don't just want that one sound, man. Sometimes you want to feel that funk, like say it, like girl, dance.
Yeah,
man.
Like,
oh my gosh, like give me some of that energy. Come on. You know, you don't just want to stand there.
But I also feel like what makes most R&B songs R&B is the fact that they have a message to tell.
Yes.
Right?
And but most every song has a message.
Okay, guys, we've heard some.
Like, I know we've heard some ass water music in the past. But like, come on, yeah, every song.
But I'm talking about the type of message that tells the story either between two people who are in love or either between the love of father and a son, dance
so
with
we're
father,
saying that the defining factor of R&B music is that it's got to be about love.
Mm-mm. I feel like it, guys. Think about every R&B song that's been made.
There's a difference between making love songs and like R&B as a genre, because it's not just about love songs. Okay, there are breakup songs, you know, which I guess falls into the love category. But sometimes not about love. Like sometimes I love myself that is still love. But sometimes I'm just trying to go out, but it's an R&B song. You know, sometimes I'm just trying to groove, but it's R&B though. Like it's not that heavy.
Just
fun.
I think it's just like all the artists we've mentioned right now. How many songs about love have they released?
Too many. Everyone can agree on that.
Exactly. So and they epitomize what contributed the most to R&B to each of y'all, which means love is the defining factor of R&B.
It's not the defining factor.
It has to be in the production.
Yeah. 100%.
Not necessarily saying it has to be slow, but
yeah.
I need to hear a guitar. I need to hear a piano. You've got to be singing with your actual voice.
Like, yeah, I don't know. For me, R&B wasn't really about that is love, now, even though it was dominantly about love. It was like the quality. You know, so basically what you guys are talking about, but like it was the production, it was the instruments one by one, but it was also the lyrics. And it didn't matter what you sang about, just as long as the lyrics were meaningful and you meant them and you came with your passion and your soul. I'm like, girl or boy, like, oh my gosh, like you're here with now.
It's like The Weeknd. Like just he has a pretty twisted idea of love before saying love.
Oh. You know?
Yeah.
But it's still love. It's
everyone's interpretation, yeah.
And there are some people who agree with The Weeknd. So, because he's been selling out in the olden days. He was selling out really...
Still sells out.
I don't know. But I just feel like what defines R&B a lot... Yes, you guys are right. Instrumentals and all that. But remember now, hip-hop... People like Kanye West came into hip-hop and changed it completely and made it use more instrumentals. So I'm saying the defining factor, what will keep making us go back to certain songs and saying, oh, there's elements of soul or R&B, is the message behind it. And if it's a message, it predominantly has to do with love, because or a relationship or something to do with an interaction with a human being or yourself in this life.
No, when you put it like
that. Yeah, you see, when you put it like that.
Not all songs about that.
Okay, so guys, if we were to take these eras and rank, this is a fun thing I'd like to do.
Because like gonna get shaky.
I don't know. I kind of want to rank the tens at the top.
Yes.
But yeah. But at the same time,
they're just not as iconic.
They're not.
They're still young. The reason Luther Vandross is iconic is because he's had time.
Give this decade time
and you're going to see flames.
Okay.
Your kids are going to see flames.
Okay, we're going to come back in 2030, do this podcast again.
But what about the fact that most icons that we find iconic have died before we think they finished?
So you just want everyone to die too now?
That's actually quite a chat because it's like, I'm here, I'm like being an artist, then I died. And it's like, oh my gosh, did you guys know Miss Lil makes me?
Oh, it's true. Tupac, think about Nipsey as well.
People now think, oh my gosh, she's. Have you ever heard a check before he died?
Hmm?
I won't lie.
I won't call them out.
But like, let's still go back. Let's look at what they did in that era.
Yeah.
TLC, lots of numbers, lots of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you also had Blackstreet.
Don't leave.
So for me, I would say then 90s second.
So who are we putting first?
The 80s.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So that's it. So you're ranking 10s first.
Okay, like, yeah, 10s.
Like,
now
we all agree on that.
Yeah,
I agree.
I'm with Marcus on that one.
Okay. Also, the only reason I would say I would have maybe put 10s second was because 10s, honestly, 2000s really did it for me because there were so many.
But like, how many do we remember?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Okay. Okay.
Tamia, you know, that one song.
It was also 90s.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the ones who are good were bordering, or the ones we remember are bordering between 90s.
And also, remember in the 2000s, you had a lot of one-hit wonders.
Facts. No,
okay, you guys are actually making me think about it. We're actually hot in this era, no lie.
We've also had a lot of one-hit wonders, though. So.
No, and they're still coming.
Yeah, like, most of the people you think will be one-hit wonders today just come back with another one, and then you're like, oh, wow.
Another one.
Two hit wonder. Different.
Okay, so that's 10s at number one.
Okay.
Two, 90s.
I agree.
I am not putting 80s at the bottom.
I'm putting 2000s at the bottom.
No, we can.
2000 is at the bottom.
Young Chris Brown, bro. Think about 16-year-old Chris Brown.
All Chris Brown did was kiss, kiss.
Think about Alicia. Do it for Alicia Keys. The OG.
But remember, Alicia was also late 90s.
But that was late.
I don't want to do this. I don't want to have this conversation.
It's hard to have 2000 at the bottom, but it's also hard to have 80s at the bottom.
Guys, 80s at the bottom.
Let's go back to number two. Number two, let's go back to 90s R&B.
Yeah.
Let's fight.
Look,
no.
I can't fight. 90s trumped 80s.
You can't rank it over
2000s. Like
90s trumped Toni Braxton.
Exactly.
Toni fucking Braxton.
Okay, nah, you guys.
And remember,
plus Disney Channel also there.
Remember Sade's 90s, guys.
Oh, yeah.
She gives it good sweat.
Bro.
Okay, we had a lot of icons. It's just that for me, they started out and they blew up in the 90s. That's what a lot of the artists from the 80s did.
Okay, yeah.
Like, that's what. So for me, I guess, let's put 80s at the bottom.
No, you know why I want to put 80s as third, guys? Because without 80s, without that foundation, there would be nothing else for R&B.
That's one of the arguments I wanted to make.
I feel like with 80s, no lie, I feel like that was a more soulful R&B.
It was soulful, but it was also R&B, funky. That's why it's tricky.
You're coming
line.
Out of that disco.
Yeah. Yes. Because we're going back to Michael Jackson. It's the whole
pop vibe.
So,
it's a hot chance.
I'm sorry, 2000. You flopped. I feel like 2000 is at the bottom. I feel passionate.
Guys, it's such a hot chat. At the bottom.
At the bottom.
That time.
What if
I think for us, it's more nostalgic.
For real, I feel like it's so nostalgic.
Yeah, for kids our age, it would be nostalgic.
It really is.
2000
really
would be nostalgic.
So, yeah.
It really would. It really is. I don't know why we're saying would. Like, it is. But the reason why I wouldn't maybe agree that it is at the bottom is because, like, they kind of faded out, man. Like, I mean, if Neo had to release a track today.
Yo, he's still listening.
If Asha. Well, Asha released something, but we don't have to talk about that.
Asha was hella pop, though.
Yeah.
He wasn't really R&B for me.
See, genre bending. There was a lot of pop R&B going on.
But this list, we still haven't decided on this list.
I just feel like tying them at third.
For real, they can't.
But we need finality.
Yes.
Okay, let's vote on a democracy.
Oh, wow.
Top four? Okay.
Top four.
Who's number four?
2010s.
No, no, no. Number one is 10s.
Oh, yeah.
R&B.
It's 90s.
I don't know if it's R&B.
I like Second is R&B. Got it.
Second is the 90s.
Yeah.
And then for me, I'm putting, I hate to do this, but third, I'm putting the 2000s.
And I was
going
to.
Fourth, okay. I'm putting the 80s.
The reason I disagree. No, no, the reason I'm agreeing with that is only because, and maybe this is more of a biased opinion, but I have more authentic memories with the 2000s, cause, just basically because I grew up on them as opposed to the 80s. So I don't really, I can't say I know the 80s the way I know the 2000s. I just know that the 80s paved the way for the 90s, the 2000s, and literally the rest of the genres or generations, let me say. So it was really like the foundation. Like, oh, you can be number four because you set the foundation for
that. Wow, that's rude.
Your forefathers.
Yo, what do you want to say to your ancestors, hey?
No, but like, I meant that with the kindest heart. Like, they really did set the foundation, you know. So they could only grow from there. So the fact that we ventured out from the funk to more the pop, you know, I think it showed a little bit of growth, even though it was like a little bit...
It took a left there for a second.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. I'm trying to find the words. I'm like, it took a left, but in a good way.
I disagree completely. I still switch 2000s and 80s.
Okay.
Maybe because I'm a grandmother's kid and my grandmother used to bump that Luther all the time. So that was my nostalgia.
So it's more about background.
Yeah. Okay.
So we are at a tie.
It's awkward.
It's really awkward. But you know, there's always a fifth person on this team. His name's Letabo. And you know what? We are giving him a vote
that
today,
is right.
My man. I need you to jump in.
Yeah.
Introduce yourself. Tell the people who you are. I'm Letabo. Also named Limotive DJ.
Hey.
I gotta give it to the 2000s, man. I feel like the 80s were way too boring.
It has that element that makes you I want to listen to this, dude. I want to bump this the whole time. But in the 80s, dude, you just listen when you want to fall asleep.
But we had New Edition in the 80s, boy.
You know what I like about these answers? Straight to the point. Yeah. They were boring. They were, look, 2000s got it. So there we are.
It's way too complicated. No, they were just
white. Tabo, if I catch you bumping Luther Vandross on Sunday,
You know what? Sunday, we just want to read that.
Not whereas 2000s could have been any day of the week.
Yeah. Also,
that's a good point.
You can still listen to the music from the 2000s. Mm-hmm. So much range and variety.
I get you.
All right, so that was Letabo, the Motive DJ. I'm cutting him off.
We need a new producer.
I need a new producer.
Applications are open.
You know, just put your name in the comments. I'll be looking. But anyway, thank you, ladies, for joining me. You know, it was a dope podcast. We have
thank
our final.
Thank you for having us.
This was amazing.
Can't wait for the next one. I don't know what we're going to discuss. But you know, for now, listen to Aries Online. Jam the content. Channel 40's up there. Streets are done.
Right.
Like, guys.
Come on.
We have more coming. Show some love. Like, comment. Follow, you know what it is. Shout out.
Bye.